Well, good morning, church. I am so glad that you've been able to join in with this. I don't know if you're doing it with your family or with your roommates or on your own, but hopefully over these past few weeks, it has been an encouraging time together. It's hard for me to believe that it is already Palm Sunday and that next week is Easter. And this morning I decided to come over here and come to you from the sanctuary. And as you can see, it's empty, and I'm missing having you guys here with me. While it's been good to gather together as a family and worship for us at home, one of the things that I am missing and missing a lot is that of getting together and seeing this sanctuary full and getting to lift up our voices and worship our risen Savior. And so that'll come soon enough, and God's working in the midst of these days, and we're trusting Him along the way. And so this morning, I'm glad that we're here and that we're able to worship together in this way. After this time together at 11:30, I want to encourage you to sign in for a time of taking Holy Communion together. And the link for doing that is available in the emails and the material that you have before you there. So I'm looking forward to seeing you then for communion. Butch Hanley is going to be bringing our message for us today as part of our Upside Down series in a message entitled The Passion of the Christ, and I'm excited for you to hear that, and that we would all be encouraged as we dig into God's Word together. There's a few announcements that I wanted to bring your way and just to draw to your attention, and that is on Wednesday nights we've been having prayer meetings from 7 to 7:30. It's just been some really good times to connect and come before the Lord in prayer, and then at 7:45 following that, we have the Discipleship Explorer course, which started this last week. And what a great time of just digging into Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. Just a wonderful time. And if you're able to join in, just go to the website and sign up, and the information on how to be a part of that will be available to you for that also. One other announcement I wanted to bring to your attention was just in regards to our giving. I want to thank those of you who have been able to continue to give of your tithes and offerings. What a blessing that has been for us. And if you haven't been able to do so, or you weren't sure how to do that, just go to devonshirechurch.org/give, and all the options are there for you to be able to continue your giving. If you want to mail in a check, that's okay also. I did want to bring to your attention one other thing, and that is next Sunday we're going to be taking a special offering to go towards a project and some ministry work that we want to support with our brothers and sisters in Sierra Leone. This past October, November, a team of us were over there, and we got to see some of the amazing and wonderful ways that God is working there in that country. And we were also made aware of some needs, and so we wanted to be a part of that. Some of those needs were in regards to just transportation and helping for the maintenance of their vehicles that is so important. The roads are really rough over there. Also, another way was in regards to resourcing our pastors with Bibles, and also the Jesus Film Project, which is a resource and a tool that they use going out into the villages to proclaim the gospel. And in these days, whether that's here now and what we're journeying through, or whatever it is that they're journeying through there, we're called as believers to be about making disciples and helping people find and follow Jesus. And so we want to be faithful to that mission that we've been given. And so I want to ask you to consider giving towards that. We have a goal of $2,500 that we'd love to raise and be able to give to that work there. I think that's everything I have. And so here's Butch, and as he comes to bring the message this morning, let me have a word of prayer for us as we go. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you and we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for what we celebrate here on this Palm Sunday as we remember, Lord, how you triumphantly rode into Jerusalem. And you were coming, and you came with a purpose, and it was all because of your great love for us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us now. Lord, would you use Butch's words and what you have given him and laid on his heart, Lord, to encourage us to trust you more and to rest in your grace and to be faithful to what you've called us to. Lord, we love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's great to be celebrating and worshiping on this Palm Sunday, even if it is just virtually. 2 months ago, when Derek asked me to preach today, I didn't realize how prophetic he really was. He asked if I would continue a sermon series that was focused on the upside-down life in Christ. We seem to be living an upside-down life every day lately. We've been asked to socially distance ourselves, to stay away from each other. And what we really want is to hang out with each other, to spend time. We look for that handshake or that hug, but we're not getting it now. Most of us have to stay home to do our jobs, or maybe even we've lost our jobs. I'm even talking to you in a camera rather than seeing you in person. Our world has been turned upside down. For us, everything has changed. But as Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Yet the way he is the same is often upside down from what we'd expect. Before we begin, let's take a time and go to God in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for our time that we can spend together, even if it is virtually. We thank you for your word and the message that it has for us. We ask you to open it up to us today. Speak to us in a meaningful way. Help us to feel and sense your presence in all that we do and say. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week in the life of Christ is central to our faith. This is an annual celebration where we go through special events celebrating Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. The significance of those events is so important that we have to spend time to reflect and to celebrate all that it means to us, especially as Christians. Today is no different. I want to look closely at that night before Jesus' death on the cross and focus on the impact that it has for us. That time between the Last Supper and Jesus' death on the cross is described as the Passion of Christ. In fact, in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the first definition of the word passion is the sufferings of Christ between the night of the Last Supper and his death. But passion is so much more than that. There's another definition a little further down. It describes passion as an intense, driving, or overmastering feeling or conviction. From the events of that night, as we look through it, we'll see that both definitions are found in Jesus in that critical night. Let's start by looking at one of the events of that evening. From Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 46. Jesus went as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw from them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." To me, the first thing that stands out in this section is that Jesus had a pattern of going to the Mount of Olives. The text says he went as usual to the Mount of Olives. That's probably true for several reasons. Jesus often traveled from place to place. He never had a home of his own. Yet when he came to Jerusalem, he had friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They probably allowed him and his disciples to stay there when they were in the area, especially when they were visiting Jerusalem, because they lived in Bethany, just 2 miles from Jerusalem. In fact, it was along that path between Bethany and Jerusalem that Jesus first entered during the beginning of that week. Let's take a quick look at that in John chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." That entry into Jerusalem is what we celebrate today as Palm Sunday. Not only was this the route to and from where he was staying for the night, it was also likely that he regularly stopped along the way for prayer. At the base of the route from Mount of Olives was a quiet place, a garden called Gethsemane. That garden was convenient because it was on the route for Jesus as he was going from Jerusalem to Bethany. This night was probably no different. Jesus and his disciples left their Passover celebration, what we know today as the Last Supper, and he started heading on the way to Bethany and stopped at the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. From a description of the same event from the book of Matthew, we see a little more detail of what was happening when they arrived in the garden. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 45 says, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you men keep watch for me for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done.' When he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away one more time and prayed for the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer.'" This adds a little more detail to that time. Imagine the scene. Jesus and the 11 disciples, minus Judas, were walking through the streets of Jerusalem. They pass by the temple, probably admiring the beauty of the building itself and all that it means. They walk towards their path to go back towards Bethany. And as they get towards the base of that mountain, they stop by that garden. Jesus pulls the group off to the side. He has his disciples sit down in a group and says to them, "Pray that you won't fall into temptation." Then he selects out three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. He says, "Come with me a little bit further." They move on. And Jesus says to the three of them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And he sits them down. And then he goes on a little further by himself to sit down for himself to pray and focus on what was about to come. Jesus was really, in effect, surrounding himself in prayer. That three layers, the first layer of fellow believers who could pray and focus for him on what was his main concern. Then close friends, also adding more urgency and more intimate knowledge of what Jesus was going through. But most of all, by himself, he was able to focus on what was really to come. A great example of prayer. But what was Jesus' focus of prayer for that night? It was the coming temptations for the disciples. Yes, that's what he asked the disciples to pray for. But it was also about that suffering or the passion that was about to come for him. In less than 24 hours, Jesus would be put on trial multiple times, whipped, taunted, and then finally crucified. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew all the details, and it weighed heavy on him. In a book, Who Moved the Stone, written by Frank Morrison, a physical scientist, he closely studied the events of this week. As part of his research, he was trying to separate the miracles and the supernatural from what was happening actually in history. From his focus and his study, he went into great detail and finally convinced himself there was no other explanation except that Jesus was the Son of God. Also from that detailed research, he gave us a little insight as to what events were happening. He found that Jesus and the disciples likely arrived in the Garden of Gethsemane around 10:30 at night, and they were praying in the garden for about 2 hours before Judas came with the crowd to have him arrested. That was no casual prayer that Jesus was praying. 2 hours of prayer. That would be difficult. After a long, exhausting day, a celebration of Passover, it would probably put me to sleep. And it did for the disciples. In fact, it did three times, not just once. Yet from that long period of prayer, in this portion of Scripture, we only have two sentences. Two sentences, but they are very, very powerful. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. The passage from Luke indicates that Jesus was in anguish and sweat drops of blood. Sweating drops of blood is a rare physical condition called hematidrosis. Sorry for any medical people who know how poor my pronunciation is. But this condition happens when there are very tiny blood vessels near the sweat glands burst open from stress. It's only found to occur under conditions of extreme physical or emotional stress. So from that fact alone, we know that Jesus was feeling extreme stress. In 2004, there was a movie released called The Passion of Christ. It was an attempt to reflect as closely as possible the events that happened during that time in Jesus' life. The movie was so graphic in showing the violence that Jesus endured that it was had to be given an R rating. Imagine knowing the details of all that he was going to go through. This really showed a human side of Christ. He was literally stressed out. From the passage in Luke, we find that God the Father could see the stress that he was under and sent an angel to comfort Jesus. Jesus knew what was about to come. He knew how it would happen, but most of all, he knew why it had to be done. That's a lot of pressure. However, knowing all of that, what was his prayer? Take this away if you can find any other way to save the people from their sins. But if you can't find another way, do what needs to be done. That is a huge exception. In other words, I really, really don't want to do this. If there's any other way. I know what I'm doing and I know why. So if this is what's needed to get done, I'll do it. What does it take to make a prayer like that? Passion. It's that second definition of passion that's coming through. An intense, driving, or overmastering feeling or conviction. That conviction was a deep love for us that could only be complete in his dying for our sins. That's the upside down image of what love is. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus went way beyond laying down his life for his friends. He died for his enemies too. He died for sinners who could not be in the presence of God at all. He died for people like me who hadn't been born yet and still needed him. He died for people who were mocking him all along the way, throughout his life, but especially during this week and this night. He died for the people who were putting him to death. Not only did Jesus die for these people, he died in a very difficult way. The crucifixion was considered one of the most cruel methods of putting someone to death. It was painful, and it lasted a long period of time. It's no wonder that God the Father had to send an angel to comfort Jesus as he went through thinking of those events happening. Jesus was driven by passion to suffer the passion of Christ. Imagine that. Many times we feel our situation is out of control. We're facing difficult situations, not only the ones that are caused now by the coronavirus, but other physical problems, problems with family members, problems at work, problems from not having work, financial problems, or even problems where we just feel alone or abandoned, especially at this time. We all go through situations like this at some point. At this time of isolation and social distancing, what we need to remember is that someone has a passion for us. That intense, driving, or overmastering feeling of love that Jesus has for us. You are not alone. It sometimes seems trite to say it, but it's intensely true. Jesus loves us. He loves you personally, passionately. Strengthen your relationship with him. Read his word and his Bible. Spend time with him in prayer. Let him comfort and provide for you. Give you freedom from the feelings of loneliness, the guilt of your sins, the wrong choices we've made, from your past. Let his love strengthen you for all the difficulties you're going through. You're not alone. Today, during Palm Sunday, we remember Jesus triumphantly entering Jerusalem, where he would die for our sins. Today also, let's remember the intense love, that passion he has for us, that drove him to die on the cross in Jerusalem. It drove him to Jerusalem in the first place. That's the passion of Christ, and it's available for us today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it's so great to hear again and again how intense your love is for us. How much you've gone through to suffer, all for us, to save us from our sins. We thank you and praise you for it. Help us to get more of a sense of that as we spend time with you and spend time getting to know you more. Build that sense of love in us and help us to sense your presence in this difficult time and all the times to come. It's in Jesus' name we pray.